Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Welcome, everyone, back to In the Open with Teresa and America. Today, we're going to talk about not feeling heard. We talked about getting mad at little things and trying to communicate what's important to us and what just happens if when you try to do that, someone doesn't get it. And they're gonna not get it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you did this, but you know when you practice a conversation and you're like, this is how it's gonna go?
Yeah.
And then it never goes that way.
Yeah.
Ever. But the worst is like when you – the worst is when you're just left in tears.
You know, like I don't really cry a lot. But when I do cry,
yeah,
it's when my emotions are so overwhelmed and my body is so overwhelmed that there's nothing else but to do that. And in most cases, when I do cry, whoever it is that I'm communicating with then sees it like as a severe sign of distress. Because they're like, oh, my God, I didn't do something. What? You know? And then I'm like, you could have freaking listened. You're not understanding what I'm saying.
I think, too, with conversations that are really intense, you know, when you get into a fight or you gear yourself up to say something that feels important and like all the stuff we said, right? Like, you know, you might write it down. You're processing through why it's important to you. Like, for you, this thing is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then like the person on the other side, they're caught off guard. Like they don't know that this is coming.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder if that's part of the dynamic. But you're like, oh, but then do I be like, oh, can I talk to you in 2 weeks?
Yeah, no, you can't. No, I would be like, no, you can't. Because my anxiety would build to a place that I'd be just like, no, tell me no.
But then when you catch them off guard, I feel like that's part of the dynamic is that people are caught off guard. And when they're caught off guard, I think a lot of their reactions are ones of defensiveness.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
And responsibility and blame. And so they can't even sit with you because they feel this so strongly right off the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Guilt.
Yeah. And those are strong feelings. So people never respond. We don't respond well when we feel defensive and blame and guilt.
You're right. Like, I think it takes a lot for an individual to receive a message from someone in a very positive way and one that is very empathetic. Because if it's a personal relationship, which most often is the case, right? There are so many feelings and histories that are brought to the table in this one moment of conversation that you're like, okay, forget everything else that's happened. I'm just going to tell you what I feel right now. You know, like you can't. It's impossible to do that.
Yeah. So we had empathy for the other side. And then now we're going to talk about how we feel unheard. Okay.
You know, the last couple of sessions we talked about, like when we get mad at little things, most often it's tied to something that for us tends to be like a bigger deal for whatever reason.
Sometimes because it is a big deal.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it may not be, but it feels very important because of ways you maybe even haven't been able to articulate why. You just know you have strong feelings about it.
Yes.
And that's
definitely
hard. So,
and then the next part of that conversation was like, okay, so now you got to share this feeling because you don't want to live with this feeling all the time and you got to do something about it. So we go and tell our person, you've hurt me in this way, what you did, what has happened in this situation, it made me feel this way. And then in an ideal world, they're like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that that was what was happening. And we can work together to fix it. But most often, I would imagine, because I've had this experience, the people are like, what are you talking about? I wasn't even thinking about that. I think, you know, the way you're interpreting it is wrong. I think you're a little crazy. You're overreacting. It's not that big a deal.
I mean, so like, okay, so thinking about like big and small times where like, okay, if somebody hurt me, seriously, like hurt me. Like I remember the first time I confronted
the person who was abusive to me. I had to prep that crap like for freaking months.
Yeah, that's huge.
I had to go talk to my people. I had to be like, I think I'm ready to go confront this person. I had to find the people I was going to go with and the day of and what it was going to be like. And I had to, because it was like such a risky situation, I had to make myself very hard. Mm-hmm. And then I had to prepare myself for both, all options. Like, what would I feel like if he did X? What would I feel like if he did X? And that really helped because I had basically, because the stakes were so high, you contingency plan for that. And I
you had a whole game plan.
A whole game plan, you know? So, and I still remember it being devastating because I remember my sister saying, well, he basically responded the worst way he could have responded. And I just remember looking at her and being like, I just literally have to move on and say that it didn't matter what he said, because my goal was not to get some kind of solution from him. It was to let people know that this happened, and also for me to feel brave and be able to confront and speak the words out loud.
Right.
And so just being able to accomplish and confront that was a goal. So I felt like I left feeling heard because I heard myself. Like, I heard myself speak the words out loud.
Yeah.
But that's very different from now or in the past, where I think of many of the hard times where these things kind of bite me in the ass, like telling my parents something that was important to me. And they are caring, they're loving people, but they are human beings. And people will say things like, this is not a big deal, you're making a big deal out of it. Or like, oh, this is your fault because you should have been doing X, or I didn't do that is like a version of that. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that you got to that with like, well, that wasn't in my intention, so it didn't happen. You're like, is the intention?
Yeah, it's that I'm sorry you felt that way, but that's not what I intended. And you're like, so are you saying you're actually sorry, or are you just saying you're sorry that I feel this way? And that it's like, which is it?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of like direct examples of what you're saying. What you shared, one, is like a huge monumental thing where you really needed to hear yourself say the words, right? Like you said.
Yeah.
Like that was the goal.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how this person responded.
Yeah.
It was more about you taking your power back and being like, you're going to sit and listen.
If it had mattered, which is something that it was important later in my life, where like suddenly people were like, well, doesn't it matter? Doesn't it matter how they respond? Like, what do you want? And I was like, oh, I never even thought of that. That's not fair. Don't bring that crap up now. Like, I never expected anything. But if you expect another person to do something to make you feel better, that's hard. Like, you kind of set yourself up for basically being okay or healthy or grounded if someone else acts like a good human being.
You know, there's a couple of moments in my life where you said something about expectations, and we've talked a lot about expectations in other episodes, but I remember when in my first marriage, we were just going through a lot, and every time I brought something to my ex-husband's attention, it was like, no, I don't see it that way. And it was like, and so for a moment, like it makes me question, or it made me question every single thing that has happened. Is like, wait, am I completely like out of control with the thoughts that I'm having? Because I feel like I'm an idiot. Like, what's happening? And that's the gaslighting, right? That you're just like, what? You're not understanding. And it's like, oh, that in itself was one process. And then the other thing was, it got to a point where I gave up expecting anything different. And that's when I was like, all right, this is not going to go anywhere. And I have to save myself and not get pulled down by this crap. So that's a very distinct example. But then you move into this other kind of framework where you're talking about also, like, for me, it's like a little thing that turns into a big thing because it has ramifications. And I come to my person and I'm like, hey, this is really messed up because of this. It hurt me in this way. And then their response is like, oh, and they try to make a joke. And I'm like, immediately I want to get angry. And then I have to understand it's like, okay, I understand you're trying to make a joke to make me feel better, but it's not helping me. It's making me feel like you're really not listening.
Yeah. So the way that people react as a result of their defensive process, they are reacting in their own defensiveness in their own brain, but that runs right up against your own needs and your preparation.
Yeah.
And I want to walk through everything that you said. So let's start with the gaslighting, because when you work through something really hard or you feel feelings and you've been sitting with them for a long time and a person invalidates your experiences, they say things like, well, that's your problem, or
that's the way you see it.
You're seeing it that way. You're making it bigger than it is.
Are you sure? I don't think that was what they intended.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure that's what actually happened.
Yeah. That's in that tone. Are you sure?
And I've done this in moments. I think, and it's a good reminder that we're all human. We can do this to each other. People can do this to you. You could do it to someone else because it's a natural defense. But this is what makes us all feel unheard at times when things are important. But gaslighting is an insidious thing, I think, for people with mental illnesses. Like, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but like when I feel gaslit, I will ruminate on that crap way longer than I will ruminate on other things, because I'm like, am I crazy? Have I catastrophized? Did I make it all up in my head? Is it my depressed brain? Is it my anxious brain? Am I crazy? You know what I mean? Because you do that already when you have mental illnesses all the time, because you don't feel like you can trust yourself.
Yeah, it's the double guessing.
It totally is. And you're just like, oh my God, now I'm in this trap of just being like, am I crazy again? Am I having an episode again? Is this real or not real? And it's just so much worse. Like, sometimes I step back from this process and I'm like, this is where I do normal, not normal, where I'm like, do normal people sit in this space for as long as I do and feel the weight of the shame and the lostness? Like, I feel literally lost in the circle, like a vortex spiral. Like, do you feel that way? Or are you able to be like, no, man, go to fighter mode faster? I don't know.
I think it depends on the situation, babe, because I've been in both. I think if over time, if I've been trying to communicate one thing and it's like repeatedly bounced back that I'm like overreacting, and it's that gaslighting process. Oh, are you sure? Are you sure? It's like there comes a point where I can get angry and I'm just like, you know what? Forget it. It's me then. It's me. And like my body tenses up and I'm like, okay. And I immediately turn into this, I'm going to call it like a little robot, right? Where I'm just like, okay. So if it's me, then I'm the person that's doing X, Y, and Z. And I'm the one that all of a sudden is making this up. And yep, it's me then. And then the person is most often like, what? What's happening? And I'm just like, this is your response. I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's a bad thing that happens in that moment, because I'm not able to like walk away from that hurt and anger. You know, and I'm just like, oh, why can't you see this? And it's logical, you know.
I can definitely go from 0 to 100 more now. God, I don't know why, than before. And I get like just mad. I think a lot of that feeling comes from feeling what I feel is like trapped into a corner when people put words in my mouth, or if I'm not heard and someone is like, well, it's not me, it's you. And I'm like, it's me.
Wait, let me ask you.
You're gonna put that blame on me.
Yeah. Do you feel anger because you are repeating a situation like over and over and like nothing is getting resolved? Because that's where my anger sometimes exists.
I've really wrestled with this a lot, and I don't know why I get angry, but the closest thing I can come to is if I feel trapped in any way. Like if I feel, yeah, I'm saying something over and over again and someone isn't letting me speak, and then they twist my words, I will feel trapped. Like I'm not able to say what I'm saying. And when I say what I say, it's being misinterpreted. And so the only way to react is to scream, to draw attention to the situation. because you don't know. And it's also a bit of it's like fighting dance, you know, where you're like blah blah blah. And like when you get like the a bunch and you like can't even say what you say and you have to listen to someone else while they're accusing you of X, I can just feel it, like the anger going 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4. And no numbers of Daniel the Tiger breathes count to 4 is going to bring that crap down. Because there's a point, you know, the tipping point, I don't know, where I'm just like, forget it. I've lost it. I feel so unheard, unvalidated, hurt. There's no coming back. I don't even care anymore.
That's the gist of it. The point where you get to, I don't care. I tried to have you hear me. I've worked all of these tools that I am aware of that have worked some way, somehow in the past. But right now, all I'm getting is this wall and it's like, forget it. If I was not working through all of the stuff that we are continuously talking about, I would want to like throw plates, break stuff, you know, I'd be like, ah, monster, you know, it's like, why aren't you listening? You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, am I saying something that is completely out of this world to you? And then what sucks, okay, like this is like the worst thing for me is that I also can look at it from the other side, but not in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, like the ruminating that you're talking about, it's like days later, I'm like, man, they got their own stuff happening. I can understand why they're feeling this way, whatever. And I'm just like, but in that moment, all I need you to be like is like, damn, man, I'm sorry. That hurts. I didn't mean to do that. So it's like this battle, right?
Yeah, it is a battle. And you say, oh, I think I'm going to throw something. Like in my life, I have thrown things. And you're like, oh, I grew up with people throwing things. I'm not going to throw things. And then one day you grow up and you're like, oh, damn, I did the thing.
Yeah, I get you.
Like, crap, you know, I'm like basically acting like the people that I've really worked hard not to be like. But I like that we're talking about this as a process, because when I look up stuff on the internet, a lot of what happens is I feel like people jump to conclusions about relationships, and then it ends up being about like toxic relationships and ones that you have to cut off. And I don't find that that's always the case. Like conflict in a relationship is normal, and you're mm-hmm. gonna not feel heard even when you prep all the things, because we're just human beings living with human beings.
When we are in relationships, whether it's someone you're living with, your parents, your friends, whatever, you get to this place where you're right. Like society and the world tells us, like when it's hard, you walk away. It's not worth it. Forget it. You know? And then what we're saying and what we're telling people is, no, you don't. That's not always the case. You don't just decide when they're like, forget it. Like if there are cases where that's true. But what we're saying is you can have good and bad days. And on the bad days, it's just a bad day in a series of good and bad days, years that have built up, right? And I know it's easy to like focus on the bad days to tell me about it. I totally get it, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's another aspect where you also have to give yourself an opportunity to see what these types of interactions are doing to you, right? And your relationship.
Yeah. Because when we were doing research for this, we were looking at terms like, oh, I don't feel heard, or the person that I spoke to doesn't care about me. And honestly,
and
I will say,
that's not true. Yeah.
In my mind, in the moment of the fight, I do have moments where I go to that space, and I know that they're very unhealthy, where I'm just like, my brain will, after the whatever, my brain will then go to, that person is so selfish. They clearly don't care about me. What is the point? Mm-hmm. Why do I work so hard on this relationship? That can be helpful if I truly am in a bad relationship. But if I believe that the relationship I am in is a good one, attempting to be a good one, I can see what good comes from it. Like those particular kinds of thoughts are the toxic thoughts. It's not the relationship that is toxic. It's that my brain will go to that place that honestly I think is the thoughts right before what led to your divorce, where you started to say, well, you know what? I'm going to stop caring because I feel that I slip into that dark space and I see that it's toxic because I'm like, oh, well, if that person doesn't care about me, then I should stop caring about them. And the moment you stop investing energy in a relationship, it feels like I get scared that that's the death of a relationship.
I would say yes to all of that. And I would also say, remember when we talked about like our past traumas and like how we can't get past them, they still come up.
Yeah.
I think when we have these conversations and we want to be heard by the people that we go to have them listen to us and really validate our experiences, it's hard to break away from everything that we bring to the table and have a rational conversation, especially when like what you were saying is like the person automatically is going to feel attacked in some way. And I don't know if there are ways to help diffuse that a little bit at the beginning to be like, I'm not attacking you, you know, but I say that knowing that it can be really hard to do.
It's true though, because honestly, I've been wondering this too. Once we identify that the reason why people don't hear us is that they feel defensive, I asked the same question, like, would it work if I started the conversation with, I need to express something that's important to me, but nothing that I'm going to share is your fault, and I don't need you to fix anything?
Fault automatically creates a you and them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going through couples therapy and stuff like that, one of the things that, you know, you're kind of taught, one of the skills that you're taught is that you and the person are, yes, independent individuals, but when you are working together, it's about your couples, your couplesome, I don't know, your couplehood, whatever the hell we're going to call it, right? Mm-hmm. And you're working towards having a good couple relationship. So when we come out and be like, what you did, you know, and this is me going into battle because really sometimes that's what it feels like. I'm like, well, what you did made me feel this way. You know, it would be different if I was like, I don't really need you to fix anything. What I need to tell you what I'm feeling so you know, because I have to tell you, but I don't want you to do anything with the information other than just to think about it. I don't need you to respond right now. And it gives them the time and gives you the time to actually be like, I've vomited all this stuff in front of you. Take it, pop it into your brain, process, and come back.
and de-escalate from the get-go. Yeah. A little. I mean, it's not a perfect situation. Like, you're going to tell people that you don't need, you want them to attend in that way. And some people will and some people won't. But I think it's worthwhile to say, let's try to start the conversation to de-escalate the intensity of it. Because if you've tried to do something and you did not feel heard, that's what happened probably, right? Like you did not feel heard because the person responded to your issue with their own defensiveness. And that can make you feel extra trapped and extra hurt.
Yeah, and ready to battle.
But so tell me if you feel this way too. Like, I don't know, like my jumbled brain sometimes has the hardest time putting words and making sense of things. But sometimes I don't feel like someone hears me because I question whether or not I've even explained what bothers me clearly.
Yeah. I understand that. And that's where I think the practice is critical if it's like that type of conversation. But also because of that reason, if it's really something that I need to get off my chest and be like, I have to tell you this thing, I write it down so that the emotion of that moment doesn't overwhelm me and mix up my thoughts more and be like, well, you know, you did this thing 7 years ago and then last night you did this thing and you're like, huh? What are you talking about? What are the, why? I don't understand. And that's, for me, what has worked is really writing down, like, I want to talk to you about this thing. And sometimes, not recently, but in the past, what I've done, if I've actually just sat there and I've just read whatever I've written and just like, this is what it is.
You know, we talked about like finding the thing that's important and that's kind of what you bring up. But it can't be said too often how hard that process is, because I feel like especially with history and life and all the past experiences, if you want to call them trauma or even just experiences, and we bring those things to the table, when we get in fights, we focus on what the person did. Right? That's easy for me to do. I was hurt when you did X. When X happened, it's easy for us to find that first X. But you said, well, I feel hurt because. And like, what's the because? We talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. But the because is very hard. It's like, what is it?
Yeah.
What is it that makes me feel these strong feelings? Because it's buried. I don't even want to think about it. I do want to think about it because I know it's there and it's always gonna bother me, but I can't even put my finger why this particular action a person did just elicited such a strong emotional response. Like, what is the because?
Yeah, man. That hurts my feelings.
I know, because it hurts my feelings. I feel hurt because it hurts my feelings.
Like, well, yeah.
Why does it hurt your feelings?
You're right, Teresa. Like, it's like the onion, right? I hate that the fact that this is such a good thing that is visual, but it's so true. Like, each layer of the onion, you know, until you get to the core, like, it's just an onion. It's just another layer of onion. But then when you get to the middle and you're like, this tiny thing became this humongous thing.
Yeah.
But you have to get through each layer to figure it out. And I think for me, what has taken a very long time and continues to occur, right, is that I have to slow myself and my emotions down enough so that I can try to process in that way and be like, what is leading you to feel this way? What has happened? And like I was telling Teresa, like, you know, yesterday I just did not feel good. I didn't feel good like physically. I didn't feel good emotionally. I just felt like every single meme out there that has a little cloud over your head, like that's what I felt like the entire day. And there wasn't a reason why. Nothing happened. But then, you know, she asked me, like, well, did you do the work that we always tell people to do? And I was like, I'm trying.
So hard.
But it's that aspect of just asking yourself tougher questions, like, what happened? What happened yesterday? Was there something that triggered your mind into thinking this way? Did you watch a movie that made you think about this? Did it bring up a past trauma? Whatever, right? And I think too often we forget that that's also part of the work that we have to do to be able to communicate what we need to communicate to the people so that we feel heard. Now, I want to preface that by saying this, okay? Like, not every person that you go to that you feel is worthy to have a conversation with and say, hey, this thing has bothered me, is going to hear you. That's just not going to always be the case. And I'd like to talk a little bit about how you process that, because it doesn't mean that your points aren't valid.
Before we go to that, the onion piece and like the work that we have to do, if someone doesn't hear you and it's because I know what they did hurt you, but you don't know what the because is that also the person who you're working with and you're in a relationship with, they literally can't fix something if they don't know what the real problem is. And whose responsibility is it to be able to identify the real problem? Is it, it can't be theirs, because they're just like on this receiving end of the anger, you know? If I can't articulate what is, why it hurts, that's actually a big concern. That's actually my problem. It's not that like my thoughts are my problem or whatever it is that they threw back at me. But it could be that, wow, so in some ways, this is answering your question. Like, one of the things I've had to do very recently, because I had a conflict where, this is not just a conflict, this has been a series of conflicts over the last 2 years.
Okay.
Like, it's that problematic and that repetitive where I just kind of keep feeling like something is happening. It keeps coming up and it's very bothersome to me. And then when these moments happen, I will explode. Something is happening about the way this person behaves that is making me just freak out. But I cannot figure out or pinpoint like what it is that they're doing and exactly why it is bothering me so much. And I started to realize like, okay, look, it is not fair that they want to put stuff back at me and say that they're not responsible at all. So there's definitely the aspect of blame. And when like someone in a partnership gets defensive and they want to say like, oh, well, this half is not my fault. Like you're fully responsible for this on your own is really unhealthy. And I have to like not loop that in with my own process, which was so freaking hard because
yeah, dude,
I just got trapped in that. Like I just got trapped in that messaging. Like whose fault is it? Who's to blame? Am I, you know, like I said, when I was like, am I crazy or you're crazy? And that's like such a hard place, a hole. It's a hole all into itself, right? And then once I could like see the light a little bit out of the hole that I just dug, then I'm like, oh, I also need to go back and do a little bit of my own work because I do think maybe there are things here that I'm not able to quite pinpoint and articulate. And that's not their fault that they don't see it. I can't explain it. If I'm not able to explain what it is and why it hurts and then give them a solution, like this is what I need from you, then to me, I don't know, like this is me and my part right now is like there are some pains that are so deep, they take time to unpack.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. So you can cry, babe. I was going to say, like, it's also not your fault, you know? I think we often see it, our inability to communicate or something like, oh, we turn the finger back on us like, oh, you're the one. You should be able to do this. It's also not our fault because 2 years ago, we may not have had the skills that we have today to be able to process whatever it was that happened 2 years ago. How you're the same exact person, but now you're seeing it in another way. And it's only through like conversation and really hearing from other people and interacting with others who go through and share all these experiences that you're like, that is normal. It wasn't just me, you know? And you're like, okay. So you got to own that too, babe. Like, it don't call it your fault.
No. And that is part of the, you're right. So step one, I mean, we can go through like all the steps and what we discussed, but the narrative of blame and fault is a damaging frame.
Yeah.
But it's one that we want to fall into all the time, especially in a partnership. Like whose fault is it? It's kind of a sick cycle to get stuck in that and to feel like, well, because I think if it's a co-equal relationship and it's a person that does care, like to just acknowledge with each other, like it's both of our faults. But to get trapped in like the blame and like, well, is it my fault, your fault, is pretty bad. But you said something that was so important. It's about talking to other people. Oh man. So if you don't feel heard and you're and I was really struggling, I often find I have to go talk to someone else. I need new perspective on the situation. I love what you said where you're like, just talking to other people who either can, who love you and know you enough that they can say, well, I know your person and I know you and I know your partner. And this is what I think is happening here is you're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, completely.
And people who call you out on your own stuff too, but also just can call out dynamics. I'm like, man, that's freaking gold. Like it's been so helpful because when you're in that moment and you're just angry, it's really good to have someone who is a third party who loves you both. That's the key. Mm-hmm. Like they can't be a friend who wants to bash on your person if you're choosing to be with your person.
Yeah. You know, the person that comes to mind, like there was – so I don't know if I've told you this, but I'm going to tell our listeners, right? Like in my relationship now, you know, we're very open with our families. Well, I've always been open with my family about whatever's happening with my life. And I remember this one distinct thing where I was like, well, let's talk to my dad. And my fiance was like, no, they're going to take your side. And I was like, no, they're not. you're wrong about that, buddy. And then he was like, no, they're going to take your side. They're like, it's your dad. Of course she's going to. And I was like, let me tell you something about my dad. My dad loves me, but my dad will tell me when I'm not right. You know? So, and I remember having this conversation. You know, we go to my dad. I was like, dad, this happened, whatever. And my dad's like, America, you're wrong. And my fiance was like, huh? Like, you know, mouth open. Was like, wait, hold up. Are you sure? You know, and I was like, I told you, like, you know, it's not about finding blame and it's not about selling yourself short, because I think your feelings are totally valid. Figuring out why you're having those feelings is part of the journey and the work that you have to do, right? Yeah. But we also have to help the other person understand that what you're doing is one thing to help yourself and whatever relationship you have. It's not just, I'm doing this because it's good for me. It's like, nah, dude, we got to do this for both of us.
Yeah, that's right. And then what's after that? You said after practice. That. Start over again and again and again and again and again for the rest of your freaking life. Just expect that you're going to have to do this over and over and over and over, man. Getting better and getting healthier isn't a light switch. You don't wake up one day and you're like, oh, I'm freaking sunshines and giggles. You have emotional relapses. They're freaking normal. Yes. You know, when I'm freaking stressed, I am my worst self. Let's just be honest. Like, I'm stressed, I'm going to have a freaking depression relapse, all the craps, right? Not sleeping, it's going to be hard. I just have to expect that this is always going to happen. And sometimes it means something, and sometimes it's just the fact that you are just stressed out.
Yeah. You have to give yourself room for that growth, and also know that you have to give your person room for growth as well. You cannot expect them to be completely like in tune with you now that you've like opened up and you're like shared everything that's happening. Nah, dude, it takes time. If it's taking you time, it's going to take them time. Now, you know, you can go this other whole route about whether you want to be in this relationship or not. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about these people have value and are worthy to you in your life. So if it matters, then spend the time learning how to do this. It's going to pay off. It'll get easier.
And how do you know you feel heard? I can think of a feeling I feel if I feel heard.
Okay, tell me.
If I feel heard, I feel relief. I feel that thing in my heart where like it settles. Mm. And I could take a breath and I feel open, like open to the next new experience.
You sound so yoga-ish.
I know, it's so pretty. It's so
but that's a and good I'm not, thing.
I'm not a yoga person. This is like the closest it's gonna get to that, right? But I do. I just feel relief, and it's mostly because I live a life of tension. So I know very much how it feels to feel tight and wound up. So when I feel heard, or whatever that big battle is, like if I finally feel heard, it feels so relieving. Like I'm that ball, and I just feel like, well, I guess that's why I say open, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I suddenly realize like my freaking shoulders have dropped down and mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be in a freaking fight all the time.
That's a good feeling. I feel ecstatic, like dancing, like, aha, yeah, you learned it, you're learning.
Oh my
God. That's what I feel.
Like, I got my point across. I guess I should feel more like that. That probably feels pretty good.
But I didn't realize, you know, like that physical aspect of like, geez, I can take a breath and I've told you what I need you to hear and thanks.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a fight anymore.
That's at kind least of like what I feel like today. When we have our podcasts.
At least today, it doesn't feel like it has to be a fight anymore.
Yeah. But that's one little win is a good thing. It builds up.
Taking care of yourself is a daily practice.
Okay, people.
All right.
Keep fighting in the open. Come back next week. You'll hear all about our other stuff going on. Thanks, guys.
Bye.